I'm Iris Mays. I'm the extension educator from University of Idaho. I serve the Coeur d'Alene tribe in northern Idaho.
And tell me the title of your presentation here.
It's One Sky, One Earth Food Coalition, The Power of Community Action.
So this is interesting. Tell me about the program.
So the One Sky, One Earth Food Coalition is just part of my extension program on the reservation. And the Food Coalition is a community group that was started several years ago under Horizons program that was funded, a grant-funded program through Northwest Community Foundation. And the goal of that program was to address economic development in rural communities. And some of those communities are spread throughout Idaho and eastern Washington. So the Horizons Program Steering Committee created a nonprofit called One Sky North Idaho, and they developed different committees to address different issues, including economic development. One of those steering committees developed an arts council, and then one of those steering committees turned into the Food Coalition. So the Food Coalition has several different projects that they work on, and they're mainly under two banners. One is understanding the food system, and then the other banner would be improving the food system.
Maybe we take those in turn, understanding the food system.
Okay, so for that part of our program, we are evaluating the existing food system, and we started with a nutrition environmental measures survey, which was developed at University of Pennsylvania, and those tools are available online for free, and anyone can educate themselves. We were funded with a Blue Cross grant and a University of Idaho faculty member, Helen Brown, and she helped us learn how to use their survey tools to evaluate our stores and restaurants. And we have 8 convenience stores and 1 grocery store on the reservation.
So this is understanding how food's produced, how it gets to people, that sort of thing?
So the nutrition environmental measure survey is just looking at what's available in the store, and it's only looking at certain things. So of the milk that's available, how much of that is a healthy available option? Of the breads that are available, how much of that is a whole grain or healthy option bread? And so just to give us a baseline that we could measure against and redo that survey over time to see how we're doing and what's available. Mm-hmm. And then the other piece that was funded from the Blue Cross grant is a community food access survey. And so that was asking people, where do they get their food? How far do they have to drive? Do they have what they want available to them? How many people are they feeding in their households? And we saw that people who are cooking in the home are feeding, you know, extended family as well as their own family.
Now, is this reservation, is like a lot of reservations, a bit depressed economically?
There is a higher than average level of unemployment on the reservation compared with the rest of the state of Idaho. And we have a high number of students at the school that are on free or reduced lunch. They're about 80% of the students have that, so that's an income-based indicator. But the tribe has a casino, and they have around 700 employees, so there are jobs available through the casino, and a lot of people do work there.
What's it like there? They have a major town, but people are dispersed. Do they all live kind of central?
The tribal government is based in Plummer, and that's the largest town on the reservation. There's also, we're inside Benoit County and part of Kootenai County, and Benoit County seat is St. Mary's, and so part of St. Mary's, the city of St. Mary's, is on the reservation, and part of it is in the county, not on the reservation. Mm. And we also have other small communities. The casino is based in Worley, which is a small community, and then we have DeSmet and Tenset on the southern end of the reservation, which are also small communities.
Several smallish communities, I guess.
Small towns,
not
rural towns.
Not huge places. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, so we have a population of about 6,600 people spread through the reservation and in the small towns.
So you're studying quality food, access to food. What problems are you finding?
So the assumption was that access to healthy foods is limited on the reservation. We do have a pretty good produce section in the store, but it's at the back of the main grocery store, and in the front of the grocery store is on the end caps are beer and energy drink displays and other kinds of snack foods that aren't necessarily something you want to be eating all the time. And then there are health issues in the community related to obesity and diabetes that the Food Coalition wanted to help address. And then the tribe is facing this disruption to have access to traditional native food sources because of the history of the last 100 years. So those are kind of the issues that sort of started the Food Coalition. And then from the community access survey, people did say that access to fresh fruits and vegetables was a barrier for them. And most people travel over 30 minutes to get their groceries. There is a high interest in cooking, canning, preserving, and cultural food. So that's a good thing to know, that people do want to improve the food system. And the factor that most impacted people was price. So people are concerned about how much they can afford to spend on food.
What about improving the food system?
So we have several facets of our program to improve the food system. One is our community garden. So we have community garden beds in 5 locations. We have about 22 beds. And I think this year we produced almost 400 pounds of produce from those garden beds. And that produce gets given to volunteers. We sell it, the Food Coalition sells it at the farmers market. And then we also let the students who garden at the school, we have one of our gardens is at the school, we have 9 beds there, and the kids get to take produce home with them. We also work in youth education and adult education, so we have gardening classes, and the gardening education is part of our 4-H program for kids in the after-school programs, mainly.
I understand the tribe is trying to improve, I think you mentioned this, access to food.
So the tribe's Natural Resources Department has several restoration projects that they're working on, and they are trying to improve the fisheries available in the lakes and streams, and that is one food access that they're working to create. They also have a forestry department, lake management department, environmental programs office, and land services. So they're all working to preserve and restore the lands that support local native foods. That's not their main goal, but that is aside.
What are the local native foods? Are they, I guess you'd have game, you'd have some things that you would think about.
So deer and other big game, fisheries, and then plants that could be used for food or various medicines. Basically, my understanding is that the indigenous people used everything in the environment, and they were efficient and made use of whatever was available. Mm. So almost all the plants had a cultural purpose and a use.
So in some ways, this is cultural. You're getting back to older ways.
Yeah, so the Food Coalition is made up of Native and non-Native community members, and so we're all working together to try to help create a healthier lifestyle for everybody. And so the Native foods would be just part of that, and that's more, the tribe's Natural Resources Department. But we have summer camp activities, and we try to get the kids out huckleberry picking, so that's one of the foods. The Natural Resources Department hosts a water potato day, which is actually a whole week, and we have about 400 students that come through from the area from preschool age through college age, and they go to different educational stations, and one of those stations is getting to dig water potatoes out of the wetland and see what those look like and taste some of those, taste smoked meat and smoked fish, and learn Coeur d'Alene language, learn some of the trees and plants that are in the area.
Water potatoes, I'm not familiar with.
So water potato is a wetland plant that grows on the shore of the lake, on the lake edge, and it was one of the main foods that was harvested originally by the indigenous people of northern Idaho. Mm.
You were telling me about a lentil contest.
Okay, so the Food Coalition has monthly events, and one of those, our November event, is a lentil and bean cook-off, and we usually get about 60 entries or more, and people make just various different recipes using lentils and beans. And then last year we invited the home economics students from the high school to come be our judges, and they did a great job and tasted all the recipes, and then anyone from the community can come have lunch and do a tasting of any of the dishes that they want to, and then we get prizes for the best recipes, and it's a pretty fun competition.
What is it about lentils?
So the Palouse grows a lot of lentils, and I believe it's the lentil capital of the U.S., and it is a native plant to the Middle East, is my understanding, but it has been adopted by northern Idaho, and there's a lot of pride in lentils.
Sounds like when you're describing, you were doing the survey, and probably a lot of us shop this way anymore. You go into the supermarket or the 7-Eleven, whatever it is, and you've got the beer and the and the, you know, the unhealthy snack foods right in your face, because those probably sell very well, right?
Yeah.
So how do we, I guess this program is trying to find a way to get us away from that. And
so yeah, one of the advantages of the Nutritional Environmental Measures Survey was that we got permission from the store owners and the restaurant owners and managers to do the survey, and then we showed them what our results were and how they rated compared to other similar stores or restaurants, and then we gave them some different things, that little changes that they could make to make a difference, and then big changes. So the advantage of that survey tool was that it allowed us to start a dialogue with the managers and owners to help them understand what could make their store or their restaurant healthier for people, just offering healthy choices. You don't have to take away anything that you're doing, but you can help direct people to some healthy options.
I'm not sure where you are in this program. I wonder if you're seeing some results, some good results.
I guess we have a lot of next steps, but we have been having monthly events, and we have high attendance at our monthly events, so we keep track of how many people are participating and if something we're doing is effective or not. And so the Food Coalition, in partnership with Extension, we offer gardening classes. So, you know, for the 4-H time for the youth, they love 4-H, and so they want to participate and learn gardening and cooking, and the fishing was probably the most popular group when the kids had to pick what group they were going to be in. So we have high participation for a rural area. That's pretty good, because there's actually a lot going on, but people are choosing to participate in what we're doing.
And I imagine lessons learned here, you'd probably disseminate that information. Get that out to other places.
Yeah, so this conference is a chance to share what we're doing and learn what others are doing. The Food Coalition kind of started small with one garden and then expanded the monthly events, and then we have a 2-year-old farmers market that has been successful and getting both vendors and customers together, and we're going to keep working on that and hopefully have some online opportunities for people to order their stuff ahead and then meet their farmers at the market. We have been able to get funding from the Blue Cross grant, and then we have had some private funders, and that's helped kind of grow our program. The diabetes prevention program has funded some of the garden beds and things, that supplies that we needed to buy to be able to build those beds.